Welcome to the Leaders Huddle podcast. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing the discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. I am Captain David Wirt, your host. Our guest today is Sergeant Major Stanley Hood. I had the privilege of serving with Sergeant Major Hood while assigned as a staff officer and engineer platoon leader in 43 BSDB at Fort Stewart, Georgia. Sergeant Major Hood enlisted in the Army in 1988 as a combat engineer and has served command sergeant positions at the battalion, garrison, and most recently the brigade level as the brigade command sergeant major for the 555th Engineer Brigade, or Triple Nickel, out at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Currently, he serves as the G3 Operations Sergeant Major at the United States Military Academy, West Point. With over 28 years of experience, he brings an incredible amount of knowledge and wisdom to the Leaders Huddle today, and we are extremely excited for his interview. Sergeant Major, welcome to the Leaders Huddle.
Sir, we thank you. I appreciate you approaching me and asking me to do this. It's certainly an honor to do this. Thank you.
So, Sergeant Major, you may not know this, but you're our first NCO, non-commissioned officer, in the Leaders Huddle, and really excited for that. And so our target audience is the junior officer community, while we also discuss pertinent topics for the company-level NCOs. For today's discussion, I really want to pick your brain on the key relationships at company level, those being the platoon leader and platoon sergeant, as well as the company commander and company first sergeant. So one of my first questions is really directed for cadets and officers in Bullock. And one of the questions we get a lot from cadets here and officers in the Bullock courses is on the topic of initial counseling with platoon sergeants. There are obviously several approaches to this important leader task, but I don't think I've ever heard a senior NCO's approach and expectations of new lieutenants when it comes to counseling. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on effective approaches to initial counseling between the platoon leader and platoon sergeant.
Yes, sir. My thoughts on initial counseling. First and foremost, the Army has it so that when a platoon leader and a platoon sergeant come together, it's like an arranged marriage. Some may have heard that before, but it's like an arranged marriage, with the exception of being able to choose who your partner is. And, but the expectations are to make it work, to come together, to get along, to come together and to ultimately take care of the family, if you will, the kids, So it's an arranged marriage, but, it can turn into something great and something good, in the end. And in some cases, it could turn out not so great, but the important thing is to set a firm foundation. And how you begin to build on that foundation is coming together and communicating. As platoon leader and platoon sergeant, effectively communication is key to a lot of things. And part of that communication and part of that foundation, rather, is trust. In any relationship, the foundation should be trust, unless the relationship kind of falls apart somewhere, somehow. So, I really think being able to come together as leaders and communicate on what the expectations are. Once the platoon sergeant has an opportunity to share with the platoon leader, who he is and everything, and the platoon leader does the same, I think it's important that they both share, their expectations and being heard and while they're sharing those expectations. And so in being able to walk away out of that room understanding the common goal is to take care of the formation, and be an effective leader as much as possible. So I think the approach is coming together and just simply communicating, openly communicating in a professional manner and sharing the expectations of each other. Platoon sergeant sharing his expectations and the platoon leader sharing his expectations and or what they can expect from each other. So I think that's approach that I think helps and would work.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks. I honestly don't think I've heard that analogy or metaphor, arranged marriage. I think that's actually pretty fitting because a lot of times in the Army, you don't get to pick who you work with. Definitely at the platoon level, you're slotted by your battalion commander or XO or 3 into those positions. So I really like the aspect of trust as a foundation or foundation element and communication. I want to ask, do you think that the approach for initial counseling or expectation management in those initial 30 days as a when you come into the position, does that change at all for the company commander and first sergeant?
Well, I really don't think it changed much at all. Just again, being able to come together in a room to communicate, it's another level. But again, the common goal should be coming out, taking care of the company, have a clear understanding, and communicating the clear understanding of what the goal is, and it's ultimately to take care of the formation. But there's things in between to getting after that, and to be able to sit down and have that discussion in a professional manner, I think is a great start to getting after the intent and the expectations of what's expected of senior leaders. I had the privilege of serving with a company commander. It was prior enlisted. Okay. We have served together enlisted and Alpha Company 20th Engineers there in Fort Hood. And, we knew each other right offhand, but we'd never been put in this position to where we're in now. He's the company commander and I'm the first sergeant. And so we were able to come together and sit in the room and talk about where we wanted to go, the way ahead. He counseled me. He wrote on a sheet of paper on what his expectations were of me, and again, shared with me what he would do, his role and his responsibilities to me and the company. And so that was great to be able to hear that, to see that coming from him, and just to know that we have that open communication about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I made it known to him that, sure, I'm going to come to you and, let you know what's going on, keep you informed as my role as the first sergeant, but it doesn't always require actions.
Right.
And so it's just so that I understand your responsibilities to the company and to be able to feed the beast, if you will, the higher command.
Gotcha.
On what's going on. He needs to stay informed. And our counseling sessions, we talked about things like that. So if you have a list of things that you want to discuss and talk about on both sides, you schedule this counseling session, and you have, the commander talks to the first sergeant and say, hey, go ahead and write down some things that you want to discuss during our council session. So it's just not a waste of time, both of you sitting there looking at each other and just talking about whatever, the weather or school or whatever the case may be. But at some point, you get after the things that really concern you, not only just you, but concerns the company formation.
Right. That's great, Sergeant Majors. One thing that I found was effective personally for me was before I briefed my command philosophy to the company, I asked my first sergeant to review it to see if it made six or made sense on the six real key points or themes. And I think what you talked about is as far as scheduling the counseling is really important. And a piece of advice that I would offer any new company commander is during your rip TOA with the outgoing commander, try and schedule that initial counseling a week, no more than 2 weeks out from when you take the guide on. Thanks, Sergeant Major, for that insight.
Sure.
The second question I have, so I've heard this statement a few times of, quote, there is no such thing as only NCO business. Most of the time this is said in reference to soldier issues or even sergeant times training. While I'm an advocate for the line of thinking that is all leader business when it comes to our unit, and soldiers, I've worked with a few NCOs that wouldn't agree with that phrase. I wanted to ask for your opinion on the NCO versus officer business debate and how company leader teams can communicate and work effectively to this, so this polarity doesn't exist.
First and foremost, I certainly agree that it's all leaders' business, because we have to go back to why are we where we at? Why has the Army entrusted us to perform in the positions that we're in, and again, ultimately, is to train our soldiers. Keeping in mind that someone's daughter and son is in your formation, and when you have that in mind and keep that in mind as leaders, you approach things a little differently, and it's you don't try and separate yourself, but you try and create the atmosphere and the situation to wherein you understand that it's all of our business, because we have someone's son and daughter in our charge, and we're being trusted. Our nation entrusts us to make sure that they're the best, that they're well trained, that they are ready to go and take care of our nation's business. So, with that mindset, I think the approach is a little different whenever situations arise. Now, there's different roles, responsibilities when it comes down to whatever the situation may be. The NCO has a role, the officer has a role, but ultimately together as a team, you know, it's our business when it comes to taking care of the soldiers. As an NCO's role, the NCO is the executor, the officer is the planner. You know, there's things that the NCO do in the formation. Again, I, as a first sergeant, I kept my commander informed. And I think it's important that the platoon sergeant or the NCO keeps the platoon leader informed. Therefore, he or she is included in what's going on in reference to the soldiers. But ultimately, it's about, again, and you hear me say time and time again, it's about taking care of the formation. It's not about me. It's not about us as individuals, you know, and get over the power struggles, you know, the whatever they may be. But understand the common goal. And if you keep that in mind, I think everyone will sort of approach things a little differently, sir.
Yeah, awesome. So I'm going to take a little caveat here because you've already mentioned two aspects of a very pertinent organizational development construct that we were exposed to this past year, and it's called the GRIPPY model. When you look at team development, the model advocates for starting with goals, moving down to roles, processes, and interpersonal relationships or interpersonal communication. And I think if I had known that as a company commander or platoon leader, that would have made my life a lot easier. If I'd started with what is our common goal or vision, and then we can figure out our roles and how we're going to execute those roles. So trying to bring a little OD or organization development construct into the Army context. So I have a follow-on question, and I came across a document on the Mill Suite page. It's titled the quote book Officer NCO Relationships, and I'll be sure to include it in the show notes. And it was published in, I think, 1997, and it's full of great quotations from senior Army leaders from past generations. One of the more interesting ones was a quote: NCOPD or NCO professional development is and has to be officer business. Your commander must be involved in NCOPD. If you don't get the commissioned officer chain involved in taking care of the non-commissioned officer corps, you're going to get shortchanged in warfighting ability. And that quote is entitled to or referenced by Major Don Infante in a publication called The Officer in the NCO, Who Does What? Officers Call. So again, talking about the roles between officers and NCOs, and that was published between March and April of 1989. So with that in mind, that's an interesting take, Sergeant Major. I can't say that at the battalion level, I think I was ever involved in either of the units I've served with in NCOPDs. I was interested in what the NCOs were doing and learning, but I want to get your thoughts or insight on how, as officers, we can help and enable our NCOs progress on their education, professional development, and their career.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I certainly think it's important that officers are involved in NCOPDs, yeah. And it's from probably a different perspective or a different role, but the support is needed. Right. The support from the officer for NCOPDs to take place. You know, and what I mean by that is, you know, making space, creating space on a calendar, a training calendar. You know, when you sit at the table and you're talking to the commanders about different events or things that you have planned, and one should always be NCOPD. You know, the way I look at it is, you know, you get what you get based on how you invest in it. If you invest in your non-commissioned officers, allow them time to get developed, to come together, and for that sergeant major, that first sergeant, to be able to develop the non-commissioned officers, then I think they become better non-commissioned officers, a better formation, you know, a better team, better cohesion in that formation in order to get after the common goal. I used to have my brigade commander used to come in sometimes and just sit in my NCOPDs. It's not that he was concerned about what was going on. I think he just wanted to sort of get atmospherics, you know, and get a feel and understand all that was taking place. Just like how you mentioned that you didn't understand. Well, he was gaining a clear understanding of what happened, the communications that we had as non-commissioned officers, what was being taught, what was being discussed. And therefore, he walked away, you know, with that much more information so that he could better support. You know, so everyone has a role in that. And developing the non-commissioned officers is key because they are the ones who are going to train our future non-commissioned officers. You know, so to be able to communicate and to invest in them is extremely important, because you get what you get based on how you invest.
I like that, the analogy or metaphor of you get what you invest time in. So besides formal NCOPDs, what about some informal ways that if I'm sitting with my platoon sergeant, that may not be captured on a NCOER? One thing that or an element that I really try to advocate for when I was a platoon leader and commander was additional civilian schooling, pushing my junior NCOs especially, even when we were in Iraq together, to go and get their associate's degrees at the education center. I don't really think that's really talked too much about in the commissioning sources, but I think it's really important to really, like you said, invest in our NCOs and push them. Do you have any other comments or tips on how officers can really help NCOs develop outside of the formal NCOPDs?
Oh, yes, sir. You hit the nail on the head. You know, civilian education is extremely important for non-commissioned officers, for soldiers at large, of course, and to be able to advance and, you know, to get better. You know, it's all about getting better, making the formation better. And so when the non-commissioned officer is encouraged to go out and seek after and to obtain an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, a graduate level degree, then that is extreme. That makes the formation better, because he's learning how to, in some cases, think outside the box. It's a help, and, you know, for them. But not only that, ultimately, we all going to transition out of the Army at one point. You know, we don this uniform, we put this uniform every day, whether it be 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 28 years, 30 years. But at some point, we all going to transition. You know, and that's a given. And so, they, you know, ultimately we help them to become better civilians, you know, by them obtaining good quality training here. Now, you know, when you talk about NCO development, there's the professional schools that we are asked to attend by the Army, you know, and the officer's role in that, again, is allotting time to attend those schools, to make sure that they are, you know, ask questions about them. Where are we at? You know, ask the first sergeant major, where are we at with attending? How many, make it a brief, part of your commanding staff brief. Where are we at? Who are we sending next? What's going on with that? That makes the commander aware of what's going on in his formation with the non-commissioned officers. And so, and it also allows that sergeant major, that first sergeant, to know, hey, my commander is really interested in developing the non-commissioned officers. Yeah. And when the formation sees that and the NCOs see that, you know, they appreciate it. You know, civilian education, professional schools, even boards, sir, because that's part of the professional development. Promotion boards, Sergeant Arnold Murphy boards, you know, to support those and ask questions about those. You ought to see those kind of boards happening in your formation, you know, at the battalion brigade level, you know, and ultimately going to the division level. So if they're not happening, then I would ask questions, because we want to get to a point where we are actually developing non-commissioned officers to be our best and brightest.
That's awesome. I think that's some of the gray area between the officer versus NCO business I was talking about earlier. I think I was fortunate in that all the sergeant majors that I've had the chance to work for, they made it a priority of knowing who was going to WLC, ALC, SLC, and having that tracked, and the packet was straight. And I'll admit, as a commander, when you have a squad leader or a platoon sergeant go away for 5 to 8 weeks at a time, and they're a sub-hand receipt holder, you kind of freak out, because you're like, what are we doing with that property? But you know, it's more important for the Army and for the NCO that you'll make up the whole property issue as long as it's, you know, sub-hand receipted. But definitely prioritizing NCO education systems, and I'm actually just to learn more about the new NCOES system when I get back out to the field grade time. So I'm gonna move on here a little bit. So my third question, again, back to the commissioning sources. As officers progress through their commissioning source, we're implored to trust our NCOs and to learn as much as we can from our platoon sergeant specifically. This is definitely an espoused value in our Army. I'm curious if the obligation to mentor or to teach new lieutenants is something discussed in the NCO circles, and how our junior officers can take this principle to heart when they assume their platoons, as far as learning from their platoon sergeants and their squad leaders?
Sir, I'll be honest with you. And sorry to say, there's not a lot of discussion about how to better, at least within the formations, how to better the relationship and develop the platoon leader or the lieutenant within the formations. In our NCO ESs, there are discussions about that relationship, just like we're having right now. There are different discussions and small group discussions concerning how to conduct different events and how to have and develop that relationship. But to go into depth on, okay, we need to do X, Y, and Z in order to make sure the lieutenant is developed. Again, I'm sorry to say I've yet to see anything on paper kind of spelled out. These are the things we need to do.
Right.
And that's one of the areas we certainly need to get better in. You know, it's almost like trial and error, you know, again, coming together and trying to figure things out day by day and you know, as you work through things on how to. But I will say I have heard commanders talk about, hey, this is what we need to do. Here's a glide path. Here's what you need to do. Here's the training you need to obtain as a lieutenant in order to get better in those formations. And of course, the non-commissioned officer is always by their sides while they're going. Now, they may not know exactly what the commander is briefing or saying that the steps may be, but they're there to support it, and they're there to help the process, whatever it may be. You know, they just don't have the behind-the-scenes information, if you will, on exactly what the steps are. But I'll tell you, from my experience in what I've seen, where there's a lieutenant going through some sort of training, more times than not, there's a non-commissioned officer available.
Sort of the same question as far as your, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the first sergeant's role in mentoring new lieutenants. As a senior non-commissioned officer in the company, what do you think is the first sergeant's role for mentoring new lieutenants, specifically platoon leaders?
Sure, you know, as a first sergeant, you know, first and foremost, you always express that your door is always open, you know, to the lieutenant, and that you are available, making yourself available to the new lieutenant or whoever it may be in the formation, you know, to be able to share the experiences or answer any questions or address any concerns they may have. You know, sometimes it you know, they may get an answer from a platoon sergeant, not that they don't trust that, but they're looking for a little more or a different perspective. You know, and so when the first sergeant opens his door and said, "I'm available to you guys," it allows the lieutenant to understand that I have another venue to go to. But the first sergeant should certainly pay close attention to what's happening within the platoons, you know, and understand where the lieutenants are. And sometimes he may have to give guidance to the platoon sergeant to help the platoon leader, because ultimately, just as a company commander or a first sergeant don't want their company commander to fail, that platoon sergeant should have the same attitude about their platoon leader, because they're a team.
Right.
They are considered a command team. And so when the first sergeant expresses that throughout the company, even at the battalion level, the sergeant major expresses that throughout the formation, then I think that's going to permeate, you know, through every leader. And you'll see more of, you know, we need to do this. We're not going to fail this mission. You know, we're not going to have any failures out of anyone here. We're a team. We're going to go through this, and we're going to get through it together. So the first sergeant to make himself available for any kind of concerns is important. And that goes back to communication. And not only that, the platoon leader has to be able to know that he can trust the first sergeant and his opinion. You know, so he has to create that. You know, it's just not always given.
And from the officer's perspective, I think it's incredibly important for especially new lieutenants right out of Bullock or wherever they're, you know, their commissioning source, to have a learning orientation, to come to a humble approach to want to learn from their platoon sergeants and their first sergeants, regardless of their branch. Even junior staff officers that are stuck on staff, you know, they can definitely learn from the HHC first sergeant, or in a dynamic organization like a BEB or BSTB, if they're an engineer platoon leader on staff, I would definitely recommend, and I definitely did this, get out to your sapper company or whatever company you're going to be assigned to, and try and watch, observe training, and pick the first orange brain. I think that's a good course of action. So I'm going to move on to our fourth question. As a company first sergeant, what did you need? We sort of touched on this earlier, but what did you need or expect from your company commander in terms of support, guidance, and delegation for the tasks or the aspects of the company that he delegated to you? Specifically, I'm asking you to speak to those officers out there who are preparing to take the guide on and are envisioning their relationship with their first sergeant or preparing to do that initial counseling we talked about earlier. So really, what did you express or you need from your company commander in terms of support, guidance, and delegation?
So again, sir, I think I had a great company commander. But the one thing that I think is important that a company commander and a first sergeant relationship needs to have is just the understanding of that first sergeant being, understanding clearly that his commander trusts him to do what he needs to do, to move throughout the formation. And that should be, again, part of the initial counseling, to move throughout the formation. He is the eyes and ears for the company commander. And so to trust him to be able to, for him to move throughout the formation and to do certain things that the company commander probably don't need to be involved in, and to come back and to be able to express it to the commander. But having trust in that first sergeant is key. And that's one of the things that I certainly appreciated of my company commander, that he trusted me as a first sergeant when I made a decision that we're going to have a fairly good outcome. It may be something that I just had experience doing and he never had experience doing. And it just may come to a point where we're able to discuss it. Sir, this is new to us, both of us. Here's my recommendation, and he values my opinion, I value his opinion, and we walk out of the doors, we're going to execute it, and that he trusts that I'm going to execute to what we talked about.
Gotcha.
So again, just having trust.
Yeah.
Just the freedom of movement, if you will.
Gotcha.
Throughout the formation, in order to make things better for everybody, if possible. And me understanding as a first sergeant, I am the disciplinarian. I am the standard bearer. I am the one that's going to make those corrections. And you probably used to hear me say as a sergeant major, the hard right over the easy left, if you will, if that makes sense to some. And there are certain things that wherein the majority may not agree, but it's the standard, and these are some basics that we need to get after. It's what makes us who we are. Maintaining discipline makes us who we are. Because if you allow simple things to get away, when it comes down to paying attention to the details in training, then that'll get away too. It's a discipline. And that's something I certainly appreciated from my commander, to allow me to be the disciplinarian that I could be in the company.
Awesome. So I think we've touched on most of the questions I was asked for question five, but I do have a follow-on question for our next one, and I'm just going to jump to that one. It's what type of feedback from your company commander or platoon leader did you find most impactful, whether that was formal through counseling or NCOER time, or just informal when you're having a discussion during PT, on the range, on a convoy? How did you really receive that feedback, or what type did you really find most important for you as a leader and then personally?
Well, feedback is always good, sir. It's somewhat like an AER. It could be formal, informal, hot wash, or whatever the case may be. But feedback, everyone wants to know, how they're doing. Everyone wants to know if it's good, is it bad? How can we make adjustments? How can we make it better? And those things. And I'll tell you, throughout the years in every position that I've been in as a leader, I've heard and seen the good, the bad, the ugly. It's not always what you want to hear or see, but you appreciate it. If you're mature enough and a professional, you understand and appreciate it, the feedback that you get. Now, what do you do with the feedback is key. You know, if in some cases you may have to eat the meat and spit out the bones, if you will. You know, take that you know, you know, that is spot on. Man, he was extremely right. He was spot on in what he said to me. I need to make this adjustment and work on making those adjustments. Because, again, it's not about us as individuals. Yeah. You know, there's something more important, you know, again, the formation. So I've gotten quite a bit of feedback, and the informal feedback, I think, helped a whole lot. Because now you can sit back and you can really let it resonate and kind of ponder on what was said, you know, and figure out, how am I going to get after it? You know, what's my approach? You know, do that self-evaluation, if you will, and make a difference. It may be some cases wherein, as a non-commissioned officer, that you may have to adjust on some decisions that you made, you know. But ultimately, again, it's not about you as an individual. It's about the formation. And you have to be humble enough in order to receive it and to be able to act on it. You got to let pride go in many cases. You know, and part of being a leader is understanding that, what good is it for a sergeant major or first sergeant without those soldiers? You know, if he or she didn't have a formation, what's my purpose? You know, what is my purpose? So again, we as leaders, we have to think beyond ourselves, again, and let pride go,
right,
and be humble enough to receive feedback, and to digest it and make a difference. Yes, sir.
I'm curious, because the feedback is definitely two ways, especially as a young officer. Having the humility to take feedback from your first sergeant or your platoon sergeant can definitely unleash your growth. Do you have those discussions in senior NCO circles about taking feedback from your officer counterparts?
Well, certainly, sir. In some cases, it's behind closed doors. Discussion of what took place in the conversation, and sometimes giving guidance based on, you know, it's important that you know the individuals also, based on personalities, you know, how you carry on a discussion. It's sometimes personality driven, you know, and to be wise enough to understand the individual's personality that you're dealing with, and to approach them and to provide them with feedback is important, because I think you can move forward when you're given it. So, yes, sir. But many times behind closed doors is, you know, a non-commissioned officer can come in and say, hey, first sergeant or sergeant major, what can I do? How do I do this? Well, let's talk about who you're dealing with. Okay, what do you know about who you're dealing with? You know, as a platoon sergeant, you should know your platoon leader. You know, as a first sergeant, you should know your company commander. And sometimes, even observing from the outside, looking in, you can see a lot of things, you know, and determine how the relationship is even going, you know, just by observing. So, yeah, to be able to, plenty of times I had the opportunity to share with the non-commissioned officers, in small groups, in some groups, but mainly it's behind closed doors, one-on-one.
Yeah, I think I'm not in the minority in saying this, but definitely an advocate for feedback not being reserved for those formal counseling sessions, but informal times and continuous improvement is definitely key. Sergeant Major, I got one last question. This is more of a personal question that I've been meaning to ask you for a while. I remember as a lieutenant or captain back in our battalion, Fort Stewart, I distinctly recall you saying, it's only a matter of time during the closeout formations and safety briefs. And can you elaborate for me and our listeners what you meant by this statement?
Yes, sir. It's only a matter of time. I tell you, doing our safety briefings, I really took them to heart, our safety briefings, because, you know, I got to see the blotters. I was privileged enough to see everything, of course, as a sergeant major, it happened across the formation and outside of our formation. So there are some trends there. But, you know, it's only a matter of time, simply meaning that if you're doing something wrong, if you're doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, clearly understand and know that you shouldn't be doing, it's just a matter of time before you're going to get caught. You know, if you're drinking and driving, You're putting the key in ignition knowing that you had too many drinks. You know, you may have gotten away that one time, you know, thank God, and no one got hurt or you got hurt. But it's just a matter of time if you keep doing it, you know. And if you're doing drugs, ask for help. If not, it's just a matter of time before you come up hotter in your analysis. You know, and I think that was extremely important to get across the formation that, hey, you have an opportunity to stop if you know it's wrong. You know, and the other thing is, you know, to carry that even a little further, you know, when you're talking to leaders, because leaders have issues. Some leaders have issues, concerns, or some things that concerns other leaders based on their actions. But I think if you are a leader and you are a leader at heart and not just sitting in a position, you really think about how your actions affect the formations. You know, again, it's not about us as an individual. A leader, think about, really take time to think about, hey, even I'm in civilian clothes, when I'm in civilian clothes and I'm on my so-called off time at a bar having a drink, how are my actions going to affect my formation? You know, I represent that formation. I represent the United States Armies. So how are my actions are going to affect? Now, individuals don't think like that. They think about themselves. But a true leader think about how their actions affect the formation.
I think that hits at a lot of key aspects of self-awareness, social intelligence, of how your actions impact others, and the reputation that you definitely build. And I think you're also starting to hit that as when you're talking about leaders affecting others, of taking care of yourself first. Yes. and making sure you can take care of others. Well, Sergeant Major, this has been awesome, incredible insight. I really want to thank you. Again, you're the first non-commissioned officer on the Leaders Huddle. I hope to expand that further. I'm really looking forward to you working here in our capacity at West Point. You're definitely welcome back in the Leaders Huddle, and really appreciate your time.
Sir, it's been a pleasure. I sincerely thank you for this opportunity, and I certainly look forward to more opportunities to do so. Thank you, sir.
So this wraps up today's Leaders Huddle podcast. In the next episode, we interview our colleague, Captain Jake Maraldi of the Modern War Institute, on the podcast he hosts and the importance of studying warfare. Our quote today on the topic of officer and NCO relationship comes from the Non-Commissioned Officer's Guide published in 1980. And it states, "Officers and sergeants depend on one another. They work together to accomplish the mission of the unit. It is impossible for an officer to command an effective unit and accomplish the mission if the NCO doesn't ensure the troops know their jobs. Officers and NCOs must advise and assist and learn from one another." So that was published back in 1980 in Field Manual 22600-20, the Army Non-Commissioned Officer Guide. I think that still rings true today. You can connect with us at iTunes. If you like the podcast, please subscribe, rate, and leave a comment. We want to hear from you, our listeners, on the topics you would like to discuss, so please leave a comment on iTunes or through the various CalDoll-sponsored Facebook and Twitter feeds. Until next time, remember that elevating your performance and unleashing your potential as a leader takes intentionality and the humility to learn from others. The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.